Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the Funhouse, ladies and gentlemen. It's the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Liverpool face Arsenal, Leicester travel to Sheffield, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka's up against his whole team. Hello, everybody. My name's Marcus, Luke, and Pete are in this room with me.
Good evening, everybody.
Good morning.
What?
You were doing a David Bleat.
Good morning, everybody.
That was a David Bleat. Good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone.
I'm hoping for
a good match.
I liked it when he used to do the good evening.
Yeah.
Good evening, right. Everyone.
What other stuff do you do that David Bleat also does?
You want to start a show like that, do you?
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Why don't you tell us what you did last night?
I've only got 20, so is that okay?
On the David Pleat thing, you know what? It might be because David Pleat, when I used to watch football, and he would co-commentate when we were kids. But in a radio or TV situation where they hand over to somewhere else.
Yes.
And joining us, and I'm pleased to say, down pitch side is so-and-so.
Yeah.
I don't like it when the person who's there doesn't say thanks to the person before.
Yeah,
right, okay. Like they're too arrogant. The main event is here now.
They just carry on without acknowledging you.
I don't like that. No.
I'm looking at you, Jake Humphrey.
Pete's professionalism does pop through every now and then. Mm. Because sometimes when I hand over to him for the emails, you go, thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, good.
Thanks, Marcus. I've got a lip mic.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Politeness.
All right, well, I'll talk about what I did last night then. I went to see Fulham beat Millwall 4-0.
For sake. Crying out loud.
It's a football show.
It's a Fulham show. Get on Fulhamish.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, if they'll have me.
Yeah, they won't.
They never replied to my emails.
No. Nor do we. You know where we are.
Our drawings.
You told you shouldn't give me a key. What a lovely old time. What a lovely old time down Craven Cottage.
Don't sit like that, like you're settling in for a good monologue, like swilling the brandy glass around. This is very much a detour, a limited detour into what you did at Fulham last night.
Yeah,
that's it.
You went to, presumably, this was away at Millwall in the, you know, the cauldron that is.
It was Craven
Cottage. Sorry, you would never visit Millwall. So you will be going to the return fixture.
Yeah.
Give it the big list.
Yeah, I will.
I bet he doesn't.
Bet you don't.
Why not?
He's too scared, bruv.
Oh, really?
Scared, mate.
I am incredibly tough.
I've been... said no one who's tough ever.
Sound like Donald Trump.
I've actually been.
You're going to say I'm the toughest.
Now what he's going to do, don't you? Now you know what he's going to do, Pete, don't you?
What? You're
going to get a Donald Trump impression now, aren't we?
Would you prefer Trump or Nick Hewer?
Let's get on with the show. Cry out loud.
Imagine you go see Marcus as an impressionist. Right. Got a choice. That's the good news.
It's an hour-long show.
Yeah.
You get to choose which order.
The encore's Ronnie Corbett, so do you want Nick Hewer or Donald Trump?
Chuck and Billy Connolly, we're away.
Yeah, we're away.
Show. Oh, my goodness.
I've actually been to see Portsmouth at Millwall in the Millwall end.
Very good. Right.
Yeah, I survived.
Yeah.
You keep your hands down.
Indeed you did. Yeah. Fulham broke a record last
I believe night. They broke a record for possession.
That's
so the most recent stats I can find, and I am not the designated statistician, of this or any other show. But at the start of last season, the record, I think, was 83%. And it might have been Man City that had that.
Was that at half-time or full-time?
No, that's at full-time.
Right.
So I'm going to give you the stats of Fulham, though. Against Millwall last night, Fulham had 84.4% at full-time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
And at half-time, they had, I think, 89%.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So, it's great. Almost as if they spent 100 million then went straight down.
And went back to the team there before. Can we?
That's Cavalier.
Yeah, it's true.
Knockout.
Can we move on with our lives now?
Yeah. We can do, yeah. I love it how Pete's sticking the boat in. He supports Newcastle United.
I like watching Fulham. It's a lovely place to watch some soccer. But Marcus?
Yes.
Thank you, Marcus.
Yeah.
Very good. Liverpool versus Arsenal. Let's start with the thigh rubber of the weekend. Top of the table clash. Top of the table clash.
T-O-T-T.
Indeed, yes. So, yeah, it's interesting to talk about Arsenal and top of the table clash, but it is happening. Will it be a reality check for those Arsenal fans, or will their excitement continue to grow even more?
I don't think it'll be a reality check, will it? I mean,
they
might lose, but I mean, if you lose in a certain manner at Liverpool after the start they've had, I don't know if they'll be too upset about that. But yeah. I think they've got a chance. I'm more worried that
VAR's going to ruin it?
Yeah. I stopped myself halfway through. And I really thought to myself, you're doing the show, that's going to sound weird.
Well, look, former referee Neil Swarbrick, who's the main man in charge of implementing VAR in the Prem, said fans need to trust the system more.
Well, he also said, and I'm going to take this in a more dramatic route.
Go on.
Would anyone like to buy some Bitcoin?
Interested in Pete's take on this. Up there in, you know, top three headlines you don't want to see on the BBC football website.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably, I don't know, for me, it would probably be something like
Coventry pegged back Portsmouth after going down to nine men.
Yeah.
One up Gortzies.
Yeah, that's definitely one. Not sure why that would be on the BBC website.
But it would be a surprise.
Yeah, it would be. For him as well, I would thought. But check out this headline on the BBC website.
Yeah.
It could take 7 years to get used to VAR technology, says Neil Swarbrick.
Right. Yeah, okay. Don't they say it's like 21 days to sort of break a habit or something? Yeah. 21 days to implement VAR to get used to it.
It's
no,
like
7 years.
Is it 10,000 hours to become a master at something?
That's right.
To become proficient in it. So that's how long it's going to take for referees to be able to do it properly.
Let's take into account, let's take a moment, I think, I should say, to enjoy the satisfaction achieved when you say the word Neil Swarbrick.
Yes, that's good.
It's a good name to say.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And also, let's also take into account that if you look at him closely, and people listening, if you've got you've got your device in front of you, go to Google Images, Google image Neil Swarbrick, and the third image you see is essentially looks like someone's tried to create John Terry in a lab.
Yeah, a touch of Brendan Rodgers.
But it's gone wrong.
Yeah,
see that?
I love that, yeah. Well, I'll take that. Yeah, definitely.
Although there is maybe hope if you don't like VAR. It's taken us a little while, but let's mention the name Ian Holloway, okay? Because he seemed to blame the European Union.
He got confused.
For VAR. He did get confused. He said, I think that's people telling us what we should do with our game, even though everybody sort of plays as a global game. Now they should stop doing that. I hope we get out of Brexit because that's what we all voted for, not all of us.
Where's that come from, Ian?
And sort that out because you cannot have someone telling us how to do our own game.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out of them, if I'm honest. I think we'll be far better after the bloody thing. Mate.
EU is not perfect, was not perfect, is not perfect, will not be perfect, but it's the best idea we had so far.
Full gamut of political outlet. But, you know, the person to blame here is Jeff Shreves. Now, arguably, he's always the best. He was chairing that debate.
He was.
And so, while any normal person, when Ian Holloway said that, would have said, what are you doing?
Sorry,
where's that come from?
We might need some clarification.
Yeah, Jeff kind of rolls with it.
Yeah. Jeff just rolls with it in general.
Big time. But I understand what Ian Holloway was trying to say. He was trying to make a comparison.
Yeah, of course.
And it came out wrong.
Yeah.
But clearly, it's mad.
Yeah.
But I kind of get where he was going with it.
Yeah, he said, I'm not that stupid, so I suggest people wash their ears out and listen.
Okay.
Well, you definitely said the things that you said.
It's not the old, I've been taken out of context.
If anything, we've listened too hard.
Yeah.
If anything, he's hit that too hard.
If anything, we've listened too hard by trying to discern some kind of meaning from your words, which is what we thought TV was about.
To be honest, Ian, you do have to listen quite closely to the things you say because, you know, because there's a lot of working out.
Pete, I think you could also go
further. And I'm a man on the same page.
I think you go also further and say, right, after the show, producer, let's have a debrief. Ian, that could have been a lot worse if the subject was different. You remember Gordon Strachan?
Oh, God.
He's not been asked back.
Yeah.
You carry on this way, my
I
friend.
I don't know what Strachan said.
But all Ian Holloway also said was sacked in the morning. Don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Don't think so.
But on the Arsenal game itself.
If we could.
So on the Arsenal game itself, they obviously go to Anfield. It's a difficult game. Everyone will be raving about Ceballos. You expect him to start again. He had an absolutely fantastic game against Burnley in a situation where, of course, Arsenal were at home, but Burnley don't take any shit.
So
it will be a different challenge from Anfield, probably because they weren't going to have anywhere near as much of the ball, are they? I mean, Arsenal dominated the ball in that game. But I wonder, I promise I'm not just trying to be contrary here, and I obviously invite you guys to tell me I'm talking nonsense. I wonder if what Ceballos achieved against Burnley has been somewhat overstated,
mm-hmm.
purely because he's not Ozil,
yep.
and purely because in the UK, we value this snapping into tackles, working really hard thing more than they value it on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder whether we just need to kind of calm down a little bit. I'm not saying he won't be amazing.
Well, that sense...
He looks like a really great player.
Yeah.
And you can listen to yesterday's On the Continent for Andy Brassel talking very eloquently about how badly he was treated at Real Madrid by Zinedine Zidane, who had to publicly apologise for the way he spoke about him.
Blimey.
But I think I'm just, all I'm asking for is a bit of, you know, let's
well, that's why, I suggest it could just be a reality check for Arsenal fans. Because... you know, I hope not. I want Arsenal to have a good season. We want more teams
in the mix-up.
I don't think Firmino's going to have quite as nice a time against the back line of Arsenal this time, right?
We shall
see. He can't. Like, yeah, he's got a hat-trick of granite like last time out.
True enough. But I think with Ceballos, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a red card this season. I think he
Oh, yeah, massive. He's definitely got a red card.
But I think
Chet Tiotti.
You're an Arsenal fan. That's what you want, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
well, he's brilliant on the ball. He can pull the string.
But this is the thing. They're used to seeing... We use Ozil as the example. Ozil's a very talented player, but, you know, sometimes the way his body language was and so on. And there's other players in the Arsenal side as well. Wenger sometimes on the touchline. So when Unai Emery... It's like when Joe Willock won the ball back against Newcastle.
Yeah.
And Emery was going, yeah, that's what we want. Arsenal fans get very excited about that. It's a little bit of... almost like there's a bit of a novelty factor. And that's fine. I absolutely get excited by that. You know, sometimes in football, we've got to take the little victories, haven't you? Whether it's winning the ball back or making a loan signing.
It's weird that more players don't realise that's what fans like.
I know what you mean. Which is why, you know, Tevez was loved in Argentina for so long, because he would be one of those sort of types of players as well. You know, the people's player or whatever they called him. And they do value that in, I think, a lot of places around the world. But certainly that is the case here. But I think against Liverpool... It's a
completely different challenge.
It's a completely different challenge, and it will be interesting how they do it. Because against Burnley, the one thing that Arsenal fans were saying was, "Yeah, we're excited, and they've reason to be, absolutely." But they did say, you know, the back line, there's still a few question marks there, and we know David Luiz is a good defender, but we know there's the odd little Rick and Risk in there as well. I'm intrigued at how Arsenal are going to get on here. But if you're a Liverpool fan, you would think to yourself, yeah, this will be a tough game, but we should come through it.
Yeah, and it's a Betway 4 to score game as well. So look out for that later on for our latest appalling shouts.
Yeah, what do you think? Daniel Sturridge has finally moved. He's gone to Trabzonspor in Turkey.
Up front with Alexander Sorloth.
Yes,
what a combo!
I know. Yeah, I'm pleased. He's...
I mean, I know. I understand he might have had his reasons, perfectly acceptable for him to do whatever he wants in his career to go there. Are you surprised he wasn't sort of sought after by some other teams?
I think that his injury record and maybe even his attitude at times has been questioned. And I think clubs in England have kind of had a look. I just think they think...
There's a lot of countries between here and Turkey, though.
Indeed, there is. And maybe that's why he chose it. Yeah. No, it could be like, let's go somewhere completely different, you know, a little bit...
Let's go away for a while, you and I. Far away.
Yeah.
Holiday.
Keep going.
Got mixed up tonight.
Indeed you did. Manchester United host Crystal Palace. Yes. Gary Neville has said he likes the current Man United team as they have youth and energy. It's the Aaron Wan-Bissaka and the Wilfried Zaha derby.
I agree with Gnev.
Yeah,
enjoying watching them.
when it comes to hot takes, I find myself agreeing more with Gnev than I do Fizzer. I'm more of a
safe territory.
Yeah, if I'm more Gnev than I am Fizzer for
sure. Would you? Are you more G Shreves or Ian Holloway?
God, that's a pick.
That's yeah.
Bring me death.
You have to go for Holloway.
Yeah. I don't just have to go for any of them, but I'm not going to go for any of them. But on the Neville front, I'm not trying to sort of kick in a sacred cow here, but everyone's now assumed and understood that Neville and Carragher are the sort of doyens of football punditry because they were so interesting when they came along. Gary Neville kind of gets furious a lot now. He says I'm furious, to be honest with you, quite a lot.
Yeah, but you know what it's like. People get caught in those expressions.
Yeah, you remember kind of vocal tics. We get enough of them.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a vocal tic.
Right, if you're Dawn Peace.
I'm not saying it's a vocal tic. Right. I've got plenty of those, as we all have. And if you work in broadcast, that's how it is. But
it's a lovely old job, is all I'm saying.
Willies. Yeah. That's what I say a lot.
I'm the only gay in the village.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sven says stuff as well.
But he does seem to get right into it when something quite minor goes on.
Right.
And he's done it this week with the penalty thing around Man United.
Oh, yeah.
He's done it a few times. But that's a side point. I agree with his point about the youth and energy. I think I said it on Twitter earlier this week. If you think of the Premier League, you think of a Man United team under Ferguson with that pace and that wing player.
Counter-attacking,
exactly. And so I'm pleased to see them back because I have no dog in the fight when it comes to the Premier League. I think the Premier League is a much better place for them to be there. Mm-hmm. I temper that with the fact that I am utterly convinced that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is going to lose his job soon.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it at the moment.
Yeah.
So, but I thought the penalty situation was mad. And I don't know how it ever got to that stage, to me, is either people acting up on purpose, which Paul Pogba's got a history of doing, or they've just not sorted their shit out ahead of time.
Well, I mean, it's a classic one, isn't it? If you're fighting over having penalties taken and so on,
we're fortunate. We play in the Football Ramble team when we used to play with Donny. Donny's on pens. Simple as that.
That's not true. You were on pens.
Exactly.
I was on pens until it went, I'm taking this one.
Yeah. Yeah. But you stood aside. Yeah. Didn't make a thing of it, did you?
Pooed in his gym kit.
Yeah, later you did. But Jim got the blame for it because he seemed the most likely candidate at the time with that dicky tummy of his.
Yeah.
But I digress.
His terrible lack of personal hygiene. That's a joke.
Yeah.
No, he's not here.
He's not here. He can't defend himself.
Yeah. He's still on a beach.
Yeah.
He's still on a beach, an Edinburgh beach. But the whole penalty situation. I mean, even when Pogba took the penalty against Wolves, normally Pogba actually, I know he's missed a few, but sometimes he does stick them top corner. And you thought to yourself,
sometimes. Yeah. Oh, good. It's the man who sometimes puts them top.
Well, no, I'm
top
just saying
corner.
He mixes it around. So a confident penalty taker will stick him top corner.
Yeah.
It's obviously the hardest thing to do. So he stuck a few away. But when he does that little run up and so on, the problem is when you have a player who people are willing to gun down any opportunity and there's a bit of a tussle, it's kind of like just have an awareness of the situation. Rashford fancies himself as a penalty taker now. That one against PSG, you remember, he scored one for England and he scored one not that long ago again for Manchester United.
He's quite new to taking penalties, though.
He is, but he's taken them. Mm. The one against Paris Saint-Germain, because he took one against Colombia, I think was the first one that I'd seen him take ever.
No, didn't he take one for Man United? That was later. Was that later? He took one in the Champions League, didn't he?
Did he?
For Man United to knock out PSG.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
But the England one, I think was before that.
Would have been, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was the way he took that penalty, the PSG won for England against the Netherlands as the UEFA Nations League. We can talk about all this sort of stuff. You need to sort that out.
I don't think Paul Pogba, any football player at his level, gives a flying toss about what anybody says about how he takes penalties.
I know, but
that's why he doesn't like that.
You've got to make sure you put them away. Speaking of players who don't give a toss, Alexis Sanchez. He's the Man United close to getting rid of him.
Yeah, you've written the running order. He played in a secret match.
Oh,
yeah.
A dark match, like the start of WrestleMania. Wrestling.
Yeah. He's like the dark web.
Yeah, he's Sanchez.
Secret game of headers and volleys.
Prison rules.
He's on sale on the dark web. You can buy him there, or at least loan him for a bit.
Or into like Quentin Tarantino, just kind of like laundering people's careers, just cleaning them up.
It does seem a bit of a strange situation.
We'll take these kind of like players who blow hot and cold.
What have Manchester United done for them in the past? Because Inter seem to owe them a lot of favours. They took Lukaku for big money.
What tends to happen, I think, is that, and I've mentioned this in a different context before, is that every manager backs himself to get a tune out of a player. And I'll tell you when we talked about it, we talked about Ravel Morrison going to Sheffield United. Chris Wilder looks at that and says, fine, he's had a problem in the past. I know he's a brilliant player because everyone who's played with him says he's amazing ability-wise. I can be the guy to get him focused.
This is slightly different, though.
I think it's the same in principle because Conte's looking at players.
But Lukaku's not a problem there. You know, he's a good forward.
No, but he's looking there and he's saying that he's surplus to requirements. He's not part of the plans. He doesn't want to be there.
So we'll pay $73 million.
Sure.
I mean, it's not a bad price Manchester United got, considering they wanted it.
That's probably fair, yeah.
You know, but
Alexis Sanchez, I think, is a better comparison.
It is a better comparison, but Sanchez was excellent for most of the teams he's played for. Towards the end of his career at Arsenal, there was obviously
because he had his head turned.
Things going
been
on
a long time.
Yeah,
Marcus,
not that long though. Guardiola wanted him. Manchester City, lest we forget. And, and Manchester United, it's been a strange old time, but who knows? I mean, at the time of recording, hasn't gone anywhere.
He needs to be playing football, whatever you think of him personally.
Does,
you
want
to
see footballers playing, don't you? We don't want to see that at all. Absolutely. Daniel James was booked for diving against Wolves. Ryan Giggs has leapt to his defence, saying James is not a diver and referees need to protect him more.
I can't remember the incident specifically, so I'm going to have to abstain on that.
Yeah. Bit of a shame, but there we are.
Part of the game these days, Marcus.
Indeed it is, yeah. While we're on the subject, what about that Neves goal?
Absolute beauty. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimenez almost scored a beauty as well, by the way. Yeah.
Now, Crystal Palace, they lost to Sheffield United. A bit disappointing, of course, last weekend. Christian Benteke is threatening to have another bad season.
I'm going to have another bad season.
Yeah, it's what we expect anyway. So
I'm talking about this on my vlog on the Patreon. It's a shame because we know he can score goals and we know he can score goals in this country. And he seems bereft of confidence,
Peter. Again, it's been a very long time.
Peter,
Sanchez and Benteke playing well.
As a fellow person who fancies himself as a forward deep down but is bereft of confidence, what do you say to Christian Benteke?
Just pay your subs, go home.
Yeah. And offer to only half subs if you come off the bench.
And offer to go in goal if the opportunity arises.
Just be flexible. Just be underwhelming in every position you play.
There is a question here about when a footballer becomes a bad footballer. And I think if there is a cut-off point, Christian Benteke is at least dangerously close to that.
It's a shame, though, because you
retrain as a centre-back. Come on. I saw down the Dublin highway.
I saw Benteke. He was certainly in the squad for Palace the first game of last season when they were at Craven Cottage on the opening day.
Yeah.
And even in the warm-up, I take no pleasure in relaying this information, but even in the warm-up, people around me were laughing at him. He couldn't strike the ball properly.
Look,
his confidence had gone. He's done.
We should say, look, we don't know if there's stuff going on in his personal life.
Of course,
blah, blah, blah. But all jokes, it is genuinely a shame because he's a good forward. You know, he had scored goals at Villa. One season or something at Liverpool? And he scored a few, I think 10 that season. But the first season for Palace, he scored goals. And Palace, oh my goodness, that would be so good if they get him scoring goals for obvious reasons. They need to get Wilfried Zaha back on and head switched on again.
Can I just say, from what I saw, when I didn't see the whole game, he didn't have a terrible game against Sheffield United or anything.
No.
He won a lot of balls in the air.
He looked a bit more likely, but it's the goal scoring, really, I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But there we are. Gary Cahill's yet to play for Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
They played Scott Dann and Martin Kelly at the back, didn't they?
Yeah, who quite sort of been there for a little while. But in other Crystal Palace related news, Andros Townsend's volley was nominated for the Puskás Award.
Yeah.
That was the one that got you your five last season, wasn't it?
No, that was earlier.
It was a hell of a hit, to be fair.
That was a brilliant goal.
I think it's up there.
If I may defend the man.
Yeah. It's either that one or Quagliarella for me.
Oh, that was a beauty as well.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah, Derby County fans were a bit annoyed though that their one didn't get in that sort of overhead kick flick sort of thing, which to be fair should have been a contender.
Yeah.
But there we are. There we are. Right then, it's time for emails with PED.
Now just get me a jingle out. Email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Paul has got in touch. Football Ramble Daily is going to ruin my life. This isn't another jingle complaint. As a long-time Ramble listener, I felt compelled to write and complain to you that the Football Ramble Daily is likely to well and truly ruin my life. I've listened over the past 7 to 8 years of the Ramble on my commute to and from work, and I've managed to adapt to the addition of the previous show and on the continent. However, with the recent change of Football Ramble Daily, I found there simply aren't enough commute hours in my week to fit everything in. So the first few days, I started to listen at work, but my boss, who is an ignorant American bastard...
Oh, dear.
A little bit rude, isn't it?
Way for that.
Didn't like that and told me to refrain from doing so.
He's an ignorant bastard.
So do I stop listening to every episode, or do I find myself a new job with a longer commute so that I can squeeze in every episode?
Well, what's the
Paul
name?
In
Paul.
California. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Of course.
We moved
to Los Angeles, get stuck in traffic every day.
Absolutely. We actually sat down in pre-season and said, we like our listeners, we're very happy doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. how can we ruin their lives?
How can we give them a problem?
It's a bit like when managers say, like, especially international managers, say, well, you know, I want it's a nice problem to have.
Mm.
Yeah. I want all those seven or eight world-class forwards we have to give me a problem.
Yeah.
Or we've given you a problem here, Paul. Yeah, it's a nice problem to have.
You've got to solve it.
Samuel has got in touch, actually ending the email with, I had to sing the email song there to remember the address. Great job, Pete. Works a treat. Thank you very much, Samuel. Is it just me, or is it getting colder in the evenings? It must be time for hashtag jacket out. Drawing with nine man Coventry after being 3-1 up. Pompey are, if nothing else, great value entertainment for everyone else in the league this season. Could be a long season ahead at Fratton Park. They'll turn it around, won't they?
It was the first thing Marcus said to me when he saw me this morning. Really smug as well, because he'd just been to Fulham.
To be fair, we moved the conversation quickly onto Fulham.
Yeah,
something we can all get behind.
Yeah.
Not our listeners, though.
No. Or Millwall fans.
We've got an email from an anonymous emailer.
Oh,
I have successfully wiped their name from the record.
This is never good. This is never good, is it?
So you may have taken a bit of journalistic license with the Paulins gesticulating that Chris Sutton is a wanker story. Remember that one from last week?
BT Sport. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that was the consensus of everyone. I work at BT Sport for my sins
and
can flesh out the story a bit.
It's Jake Humphreys.
It's Jules. It's not Jules. Paulins was actually engaging in a bit of light-hearted tomfoolery with Paul, one of the stagehands. It wasn't aimed
at
Chrissy Sutton. The rest of the crew saw the video of the incident appear on Twitter moments later and openly started laughing fairly audibly. We were told by the floor manager to stop because Paul Ince, not the stagehand, was bricking it like he'd got in trouble for doing something. Another little glimpse behind the curtain for you. As the show finished, I got shown a piece of paper that Paul Ince wrote to Chris Sutton saying...
Shoot.
Ince is writing... are you angry at me? Chris Sutton, no. And then a love heart.
Oh, that's what
Chris
goes
Sutton's on. Chris Sutton's a little adorable chap, really.
I couldn't be angry with
I
you,
Paul. I
couldn't
be angrier. I can't really do it.
No, you can't.
Marcus is...
He's a bit more nasal, though, I think, Marcus.
I think we might be onto something here.
That's the encore for the...
Right.
For the impression.
This could be another impression in your locker, isn't it? I mean, quite a niche one. I'm not sure many people want to hear it.
I think many people do want to hear it.
Mm.
And I think they just have.
If you would like to get into the show, I will refrain from playing the email jingle again.
No.
No, refrain.
All right then.
Don't refrain.
This is a refrain. Email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. It's just embarrassing. I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
I've started fast forwarding through it. I can't listen to it.
What he's done as well, Mark, is and I'm quite annoyed that it's taken us this long to realise.
Yeah.
You know, everything Pete does on the ramble is trying to reduce his own role in it,
trying to
stop him doing work.
Yeah.
He realises, you realise with that, you never have to say the email address again.
That's true, yeah. Well, I can't remember
hit the
it.
Button.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
How can you not sing it? You've already sung it. How can you not sing it?
And now it's time for a break.
Thank Christ.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
We've got a live show. In fact, we have several all over the gaff. Come and see us live at a town near you. Football Ramble Live goes out on the road from the 26th of September. I've bought fireworks and weaponry. I'm going to be doing a crossbow demonstration.
Haven't you also bought circa 20 VHS videos on football?
Yeah, I bought a lot of copies of the VHS Netbusters, where a illuminating video of Richard Keys and Les Ferdinand in a first date style situation. So maybe you'll see that.
The only place you're going to be able to see that is at a Ramble Live show.
Absolutely. Yeah, so get your tickets now at ramblelive.com. We are playing everywhere, from Liverpool to St Albans.
No, we're not one. No. Yeah. This is why you don't do the Rees normally for live stuff. No, not Worcester.
I'll tell you what we are doing. I've got a homecoming in Surrey at Guildford.
Lovely. Here's Les Fernand's first club.
Is that right?
So get involved. RambleLive.com.
How, I can't believe people would even consider besmirching the good name of Hayes and Les Ferdinand by not coming along.
I know, right?
Unbelievable. All right then, back to the old football. Sheffield United host Leicester City. The Blades have already got 4 points this season. Quite impressive. They deserve to beat Palace, you can't deny. I was impressed with Ollie Norwood in the centre midfield. He was very good.
Yeah, he's an incredibly talented player. I mean, long-time listeners of the show will remember us talking about him. Oh, it would have been a few years ago now when he was at Reading. I mean, that one particular season, he's probably the best player in the Championship.
Yeah.
And then he had a difficult time at, I'm going to say, Brighton.
You are.
Was it Brighton?
Correct,
yeah. And, and so it's good to see him back doing his business.
Yeah, he went on loan to Sheffield United last season, and now he's up. And it's nice when you see a player like this. He's 28. And to see Norwood in the Premier League, obviously it's only two games in, but, you know, I think he was man of the match, was he, against Palace, maybe? Certainly one of the better players on the pitch. And it's just lovely to see a player get back into the Premier League and start.
He played a lot of games for Sheffield United last season in the Championship as well.
Yeah, he did.
And he's like a drawing of Yohan Cabaye. Like
he is a bit, isn't
he? A bad drawing.
Yeah, he is. And I wonder if that system suits him, Marcus, because he's got his three centre-backs, he's got a load of midfield players around him, and he can do his business.
He can just do what he wants.
Yeah. And Ravel Morrison was thinking, that was my job.
Yeah. Exactly. we've not seen much of Ravel.
He's not played, he's certainly not started. I don't think. I don't even know if he was in the squad against the old Eagles.
I think he started following us on Twitter, which is...
He's watching you, Morsy.
Yeah.
Got a few things to say on Twitter.
I ain't changing for no one.
Now, Leicester drew at Chelsea last weekend. First half, not so good. Second half, much better. They came out roaring in the second half. James Madison's been impressive, hasn't he?
He's had a great start of the season.
He has, yeah. He's probably getting an England call-up, you'd imagine. Now, according to Sky Sports, Madison created 100 goal-scoring chances in the Premier League last season, which is more than any other player in the top division. And he also became the first Englishman to create 100 chances in the Premier League for 6 seasons.
I don't even know why he'd keep a stat like that.
Oh, yeah,
the Englishman aspect of it, I don't really get it.
Well, it just sounds good, doesn't it?
He is.
Someone want to put some of them chances away. They might win the league again.
Leicester are actually quite good. They look quite good.
Yeah, I think they do.
I find it interesting at this early stage in the season to ascertain whether Leicester look really good or Chelsea are just appalling without the ball.
Yeah,
without the ball,
mean.
Chelsea look very, very exposed at the moment. Which makes a bit of sense, given that they've got a new coach and they're playing a completely different system to their last coach. But maybe it's a combination of both those things, because when they came into it, with those players they've got, I mean, like you said, they grew into the game really, really, really well. I mean, Tielemans looked great towards the end of the game as well.
Their chances, you know, Vardy went closer. Yeah. Won it, would it? Or certainly 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they look good. I think it's Rodgers, isn't it? I mean, he knows how he plays and he's got some talented players around there. I think they always knew that Maguire was going to go. And you would imagine Rodgers would have had that in the back of his mind, hold out until you can get the best price. Clearly, they got the best price. Mm. And they don't look like they're missing him too much. I know against Wolves, well, they still got a 0-0 draw, although fortuitous with the VAR call. Although people say that's the rules, but in my head, that's fortuitous. But Wolves are a good side. I think I've wondered what Leicester's going to do. I think Leicester should be up there with Wolves, that kind of thing this season. Really, because I think Rodgers will get them ticking, and he's got some good young players in there. I mean, even Christian...
And it is about youth, though, isn't it? Like, for him, like he's really big on developing young players. So we might reap the benefits 3 years down the line if he sticks around.
Well, Chilwell was... I think Chilwell had an injury, so Christian Fuchs came back.
Injured in the warm-up, I think.
Yeah, right, OK. And obviously, he's not one of the young players. But Fuchs, bearing in mind he hadn't played for... a little while. I didn't think he played much last season. I mean, that block he made on N'Golo Kante, which he then tweeted about later, obviously in Fuchs style, was absolutely glorious.
He tweeted something like, sorry about the tackle, bro.
Yeah. But in terms of responses and all that kind of stuff, it was one of the best recoveries you'll sort of see.
I think the guy who's come in to replace Maguire, who's been there for a little while now, Soyuncu, looks good as well. He looks pretty, he looks like quite mature for his age.
Yeah.
He looks like he's quite dominant. I think he's only 23.
It was good. The
early signs of what I've seen of him, he looks decent.
Mm. And passing the ball out, everybody, even Millwall at times last night, or the night before, should I say, were passing the ball out from the back.
But Rodgers, not for long, by the sound of it. They're about 15% possession.
But Rodgers,
that's all they got.
But Rodgers is used to that kind of style for so long. If he can implement that properly with the players, because obviously indeed he was caught out for the Chelsea goal, but didn't he make amends later on? I'm excited to see what they're going to do. You know?
And if we identify those, well, lots of people identify those teams before the season started that might be able to sort of push into that top six.
Yeah.
Out of Leicester, West Ham, Watford, Everton,
I think
maybe Leicester looked the best.
Maybe. Yeah, well, Wolves maybe.
Yeah, Wolves looked alright.
After two matches.
Yeah, it's only two games, isn't it?
True enough. Well, I think
one thing you can be sure of the two matches is it's not going to be Newcastle United.
You never know.
I think you do this time.
That's all right. There's another rumour this morning from NBC Sports that takeover might happen, but only if Newcastle are in the relegation spots.
So it's just getting weirder and weirder.
So the takeover is going to happen then, lol. You mentioned Watford and West Ham there. I would say quite generously, they're playing each other. Poor start to the season by Watford. 0 points, no goals. Gracia went with Deeney and Deulofeu up front against Everton. Welbeck came on, as did Andre Gray. I mean, Welbs is another one. I'd like to see him do well at Watford. I think he'll have to play well, though. He'll have to do it because Deulofeu was converted into that more striking role and finished the season very well
last year.
Scored
a lot of goals, yeah.
Deeney's the old war horse who's, you know, came up with important moments for Watford in the last few years and so on and so forth. And Andre Gray's, you know, chipped in a little bit. So Welbeck's going to have to be on his toes if he wants to break into that side. But we could see Watford's record signing. Sarr feature at some point. Senegalese winger came from Rennes. Quite enjoyably, he started his football career at Senegalese club Generation Foot. Quite like that.
Love it, yeah. Love that.
Yeah. He's one of those ones, record signing for the club. I'll be honest, I know very little about him. I know Rennes were quite impressive last season in Ligue 1. Andy Brassel talked them up. They went out to Arsenal, I think, in the Europa League, if I'm right in saying, and they gave a good account of themselves.
There's talk of, I know that Sarr was at Metz before that, so he's not a product of Rennes' academy, but again, on yesterday's On the Continent, if you haven't listened to that, Rennes do come up, because we talk about them beating PSG, and the guy, Eduardo Camavinga, is a 16-year-old midfield player who played and played well. And Rennes have got a reputation for being very, very good with young players. And I think that's probably why he's done so well, because he's been in an environment for a couple of seasons between the ages of 19 and 21 or whatever, where they do trust in youth quite a lot. So,
do you worry for Gracia? I mean, no points and no goals at the moment is not good. And that does involve a home game against Brighton.
It's funny because when I did the Ramble meets with Will Hughes,
yeah,
we talked a bit, obviously, off... I mean, it might have even made it into the interview, I can't remember, but we talked a bit about the pre-season because they were in pre-season at the time.
Yeah.
He was... And players always say that they've had a good pre-season.
I know it's early days, by the way, in the Prem.
But he was actually quite effusive about how good the pre-season is under Gracia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually very surprised to see them start so badly because of that. Obviously embarrassed myself with all my mates by talking about, oh yeah, by the way, Watford, little word to the wise, Watford are going to be great. They're terrible.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably too early to say about all this stuff at the moment, isn't it?
But I think against Brighton, though, there was an element of a bit of a freak result of that.
Yeah.
I think there was, and I think Watford and West Ham, they're two sides who... sort of waiting for it to sort of begin to click. Watford had a good season last season. We think with Pellegrini at the helm with West Ham, some of their new signings and so on and so forth. But with regards to Watford, you know, no points and no goals after two games. You know, you don't want that to start. You don't want to start the weeks going past and you think, oh, well, hang on, there's a win coming. And after five or six games, you've only got a couple of points on the board.
Look at, I mean, teams like Norwich, they'll be hoping for, you know, sleepwalking into getting... you know, say about three or four wins together in the first 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
And then that's half the struggle, you know, having that foundation so that you're not in the in the relegation spots.
It gives a bit of belief as well.
On. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, it's really important. Sorry, Mark, it's really important for Watford as well, because they don't want to go into the international break at the end of August with no points, because they play West Ham, as you've already mentioned. Then they go to Newcastle United.
Ooh.
Right, but after the international break, they play Arsenal and then Man City.
Mm.
All of a sudden, it's very easy to see yourself at the end of September with no points.
Yeah,
and you can't be in that situation.
And then suddenly there's panic, there's lack of belief.
Exactly.
Do you change the manager? Blah blah blah, all that kind of stuff. And West Ham are obviously hammered by Man City on the opening day.
That's as is the custom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is a tradition that everybody seems to be complying.
Has Philippe Anderson got an injury?
There's talk that he may miss this one. But they recover. They drew 1-1 away to Brighton. I mean, a point on the road early on in the season, et cetera, not too bad. But again, with West Ham, they've had some big signings as well. I think this is actually quite a big game. Watford West Ham, and it's an intriguing one, and it is one of our Betway four to scores, of course.
Exactly. So. We'll come on to that later on. Are we doing four to score now?
Well, let's do it now.
All right, great. Four to score with Betway. Each week we'll be participating in it for a chance to win a huge prize for charity. Four to score entry is free, of course, and all you've got to do is pick the first goal scorer in each of the Betway's four selected matches. It's still 250,000 because no one won it again last week, and the reason no one won it, I think, is because was one of the games a Sheffield United game, and I believe
Jim went for Milivojevic, I think.
That's right, against Palace. That's right. So Betway were telling me that when Lundstrom scored the goal, at that point, no one had selected him. So even the people who were in at that point were all out, and it was impossible. So there was actually no one with any interest in the final game, which was Chelsea-Leicester. So
taking their lead from choices.
The first 2 weeks of the season, John McGinn has ruined it for everyone, and now Lundstrom has ruined it for everyone. So this week, we've got four new games, of course. The URL is betway.com/4to-score. That's the number four and then to score. Do make sure your selections obviously are submitted before the first game, and further T's and C's apply. All you got to do is pick the first goal scorer in these four games. Jim's got game one this week, which is Watford v West Ham. He's gone for Roberto Pereira. So that is quite a high stakes one, but at the same time, it's quite a difficult one to call. I've been giving Jim the difficult ones because he's not here. So to get through that one to Roberto Pereira, we then go to Pete, who's got Liverpool-Arsenal on Saturday tea time.
Aubameyang!
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, which is easier to write than it is to say.
I thought, well, last week I went for a midfielder. This time I'm going to go for a fox in the box, a man who hits things early and hits things hard.
By the time it gets to me, Bournemouth v Man City, I'm sure it'll be irrelevant, but I've gone Raheem Sterling.
He's already off the mark this season.
Yeah, so we've got Roberto Pereira, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang and Raheem Sterling. Marcus, your final game is Spurs v Newcastle on Sunday at 4:30.
I've gone for Harry Kane.
Good shout.
Harry Kane.
Back to basics. We've got 0 out of 8 cumulatively so far. Yeah. So we need to step up our game.
We do.
Like I say, you can win £250,000. It's all completely for free. The URL is betway.com/4to-score and do bet the responsible way.
Absolutely. Now it's time for Going for Glow. So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. People are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for Going for Glow.
One of the rare pieces of music that seems to get better every time you hear it.
I'm not bored of it.
I'm into it. Hello to Michael. Thank you, Michael, for these clues. If you'd like to get in touch with the show and chuck me, just me, solely me, your clues for Going for Glold. It's glold at footballrambledaily.com.
I'm on a double.
No, you're not.
That was barely Marcus, a double.
Marcus, what about the music? Whose music was played at the end of the last
Wipe
time?
That smile off your face. Because we have been the Watford of this so far this season.
You've been terrible.
I've star players out.
I've had my celebration music played this season.
Can you believe this? I gave him Stanley as a reader last
pervert.
Week. He is an absolute pervert.
I don't want to kink shame him.
He's a pervert.
I dedicated the win to you, Luke. But I'm just saying, factually speaking, I've had the Marcus Speller Wins music played this season.
I'm Defoe, you're Nugent. Let's go, Pete.
First clue. I was born on the 17th of March, 1983.
Okay.
Stop. Michael Carrick. He's older than that. Well, not much.
No, he might not be. 36? Okay. He probably is older than that, yeah.
I've noticed the first ones, you always seem to go for the British Isles, members of the British Isles.
Pete, you won't know what it's like to be on this side of the fence. No. It's almost a bit like an early tackle. You've got to get in there early.
Jim said stop before any clues were out. Was it Jimmy Traore?
I did it above in the dressing room at Bristol when we had that interview. Nigel Martin.
Oh yeah, you did, didn't you? The journalist in question.
It's a complete coincidence.
That was absolutely outrageous.
Yeah,
outrageous. And you ruined his whole evening.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to. I was just playing.
Let's not rely on past victories.
No. And I've got nothing else.
Second clue. I have played 73 times for my country, scoring 10 goals.
Stop. Emile Heskey.
Incorrect. Another British Isles member.
What's wrong with that?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Just saying, just weird.
Are you picking British players or not, in theory?
What?
Are you picking British players or not? Are they exempt from this game?
No.
It's irrelevant then.
Right, is this guy British?
What?
Is this guy British?
That's not part of the clues.
I like what you're doing there, Sam. I can get a ball with that, Marcus.
He's a disgrace.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
At club level, my career took me to, chronologically, Portugal, England and Turkey, where I won the domestic cup in all three countries.
Luke's got
Stop.
It.
Is it Ricardo Quaresma?
Incorrect.
Oh!
Stop. Is it Raul Morelish?
Oh, Marcus Speller! Yeah!
Come on.
He's out of pre-season, he's match fit, and he's ready to go.
So you can claim that one. I
have that
mind.
One. That's a good one to claim.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do it.
Look at his face. I'm going to take a photo of it.
His
the socials.
Face.
No one does smug like you on Twitter.
The cat that got the cream.
What a week for you this is. Fulham last night.
In it goes.
Fulham on Wednesday night, and then this.
I will kink shame him.
Yeah, pervert.
Pervies.
Yeah,
what were the other clues? Not that we need them.
I once joked during an interview with Liverpool's official website that I want to win the Ink Championship against Daniel Agger and Martin Skrtel due to our shared affection for tattoos.
Oh, and, he did like a tattoo. Yeah.
And I was banned for 11 matches for allegedly spitting at a referee in Turkey.
Oh, didn't know that one.
But it got downgraded on appeal to a 4-match ban and a charge of verbally abusing a referee. Sometimes spittle collects.
one of those players it's quite easy to forget, but he was a real character when he was at Liverpool.
Yeah, he played Liverpool and he played Chelsea as
right
well.
Right, I'll giggle. Right, I'll giggle.
Yeah.
Well done, Marcus.
A bit of a Pete Donaldson hairdo about him as well.
Well done, Marcus, and thank you to Michael Cassin for that particular clue.
Well done, Mikey.
Jim cannot come back soon enough. Jim's back on, I think he's on Back for Monday show.
Back on Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Jimmy. We look forward to that. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Check out ramblelive.com, your beauties. Come and see us live next month in October.
And to play in Betway's 4 to score, it's betway.com/4to score. That's the number 4 and to score. Bet the responsible way. Get involved.
Get involved. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Well done, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Lads, do you want a little Easter egg, a little extra?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, Carlton Palmer on television in Malaysia with a friend of the show, Adam Carruthers.
I'm not a fan of John Terry. I think he played. I think he was a very good player. He played in a good side. I don't think he was as good as what people made him out to be. I think he was a good leader. He played alongside a lot of very good players. But, well, I'll give you, for instance, when we beat them and we went on to win the Rumbelows Cup in 1991, we highlighted isolating John Terry. And you don't talk about isolating a world-class defender.
He's got mixed up, isn't he?
John, the reason he isolated John Terry, Carlton Palmer, is because he was how old?
11 or 12.
They beat Man United in the final that night.
John Terry wasn't involved.
Yeah. But no, it was Man United as well. It wasn't like it was Chelsea and he's kind of got his Chelsea centre halves.
Not for me, Clive. I like it.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.